can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Twerking.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, welcome inside the podcast. Al is still off, and so let's see. It was Rami on Monday, Connor Green on Tuesday. And joining me now is Rami again. What's up, man? How are you?
Good morning. How you doing?
Two things from the show today that struck me. Number one, we're going to go O.J. Simpson related.
Oh.
So you are 30, 28?
29. Just
29. 29. Yeah. So 30 years ago. So this was right before you were born,
yep.
Basically. What do you know about it?
Well, I saw the reenactment on Netflix, which I loved. I thought it was
okay.
Really good. So not the documentary, but they did a TV show where they reenacted
with actors.
It. Yes, and
yeah.
I thought that was excellent, and it was really, really well done. So I watched that. I have seen probably some like documentary specifically about like the car chase with the finals game going on. I think mm-hmm. there's a ESPN 30 for 30 about that.
Yeah.
And I've obviously heard a lot about, my parents had told me a lot about it because I think that was either right after they got married or right after my older brother was born.
Okay.
So like it was right around the time that was significant in their lives. And they just remember being so loud. My father's a big Knicks fan.
Yeah.
He remembers just being sitting in the apartment, you know, being so locked in. They were living in the city at the time and just like being so locked in on it and constantly, well, like everyone was.
Yeah, sure.
So I've heard a ton from my father about it. And so that's pretty much it. Like, and also, the judge has the same name as my father, Ito.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, just random. So that, those connections. That's pretty.
How about this connection? I mean, this I think can blow your mind, and you obviously know it. Maybe you never thought of it this way. So obviously, that breaks during the Knicks-Rockets game,
right?
So think about what it was like in New York, where the Rangers are in the Stanley Cup Finals. The Knicks are in the NBA Finals. Madison Square Garden is on fire every night. Like every other night, there was a Knick or a Rangers Finals game.
Right.
And then in the middle of all of this, with Marv Albert doing the play-by-play on NBC, this breaks.
Right.
And you want to talk about, I'll say the country, yes, but I'm going to say New York just because we're talking about the Knicks and the Rangers. You want to talk about New York being turned on its head. And I wasn't here yet. This was 94. I came here in January of 97. I was a listener of the station at that time. I was 20 years old. I remember just listening to this station with Mike and Chris, basically one segment OJ, one segment Knicks, got to talk Rangers. What about this with the OJ thing?
Yeah.
Did you hear the latest thing? Can the Knicks win tomorrow? The Rangers might break the... It was... And I wasn't a Knick fan. I wasn't a Ranger fan. My dad was a big Ranger fan, like diehard. We didn't miss a Ranger game in my house, like ever.
Right.
So he was locked in on the Rangers every night. And that particular night, he was not a big basketball fan. But for some reason, that particular night, he decided to watch the Knick game with me and my girlfriend, who now is my wife at the time. And I remember just the three of us like, what the hell is happening right now?
Yeah.
And it was such a crazy time. It makes you think of, like, we just had a Knick run. Now think about adding a Ranger run right in the middle of it, and let's say... God, I don't know,
it would have to be someone so... Like, you hate to say a name, but it would have to be someone so
Emmett
popular.
Emmett Smith.
Right, exactly.
Is running from the law
yeah,
because
exactly.
He's accused of killing
right.
His wife. Like, that's
right.
How crazy it would
yeah.
be.
And my father has told me... It's funny, I didn't mention this when I was talking about the things he's told me. He's talked about specifically listening to Mike and Chris every
yeah.
single day. Which another connection to the show because we played some of the Chris stuff today. But like he said, every day that was must listen to at that time because of how crazy everything was.
Yeah.
And how you had, and I know as a listener tuning in, you know, when the Yankees were going on a run or whatever, I need to listen to them every single morning to listen to what's happening. So I can only imagine those three things. Like, and when we were here, the Knicks run was crazy. We had so much, it felt like we had a ton to cover
every
single
day
with the Knicks stuff,
even on off days.
Right.
Yep.
Right, and now add to that, the Rangers were playing the Knights the Knicks weren't, and then you also have the biggest...
OJ.
Yeah, OJ. I mean...
I'd have to look at the calendar. I mean, again, this is how many years ago? It was 32 years ago. I don't remember exactly, but I feel like there were no two-day breaks. I really feel
right.
like it was every other night, and the NHL and the NBA intertwined them. I don't think they ever played on the same night, and I think it was like Rangers Monday, Knicks Tuesday, Rangers Wednesday. I'd have to go look at the calendar, though, to see if that's actually true. The other part of the OJ thing, which is a connection to this radio station as well, and it goes to, you know, me listening to it before I got here as well, was when the verdict came down.
Yes.
So, ironically enough, my dad, who the company he worked for, they had a warehouse in Southern California, not far from L.A. He just happened to be there that week.
In California.
Yeah. And I don't think very far from where the courthouse was. I don't mean around the block,
right,
but I would say within 10 minutes of that area. And all I remember the conversation on the Imus in the Morning show, because they were very political, and the guests that they would have on, and even the newspapers were writing, you know, depending upon how the verdict comes out, there could be problems in Southern California. So I remember I was driving home listening to Mike and Chris. I was on the turnpike. I don't know where it was coming from, but I was on the New Jersey turnpike listening to Mike and Chris when the verdict came out. And all I remember was, I think this guy's guilty, but for my father's sake, and I'm thinking, like, I hope he gets out of there.
Right.
If there's going to be riots and stuff,
yeah,
let him be innocent. Like, you know, and I remember hearing that thinking, all right, he's going to be okay, but wow, innocent.
It's crazy.
And just baffled by the whole thing.
And my father also told me that, like, as it got closer, like, you got the sense that it was shifting in that direction, that he was going to be innocent. That, like, you got the feeling that, wow, they're really going to, like, everyone knows he did it, but everyone's going to let him off because it became such a, just a political case, and because
it was crazy,
and it was totally foobarred by his attorney, like by the attorneys who were, you know, against him. And that's crazy. Like, that is insane that they messed that up that bad.
And think about this connection from that time to 2026. One of his attorneys, Robert Kardashian.
Yeah.
Who's married to the Kardashians' mom. He has since passed away, I believe. She marries Bruce Jenner, who becomes a woman.
Yeah.
And the girls are worth $1 billion.
I mean, yeah.
Like,
all over the place. Yes. Insane. And one of them dating Timothée Chalamet, who was at the Knicks game.
Is that Kylie? Kylie Jenner.
Yeah.
She comes back to the Knicks.
Right. Exactly. She was at every one of the Knicks finals games this year.
Man, I am telling you.
And traveling to San Antonio but it's crazy. Yeah, the whole story is so wild. And that's why I said, like, I watched the documentary, and it's just, it's mind-blowing that could happen, that it could get to that point where the narrative shifted so much. And that's also, like, you know, they try and conceal the jury, don't let the outside narrative get in, but the narrative even inside that courtroom shifted so much that you let off a guy who, let's be honest, he probably killed those people, and you let him off, which is just...
Yeah, and it's amazing, too, even as we sit here today, I think we have 99% certainty.
Yes. And by the way, there's a big boomer connection.
Oh, we
know.
Because
he's wearing the gloves. Yep. The gloves that didn't fit are the gloves that he's wearing in the picture that he has with Boomer interviewing Boomer on the field.
Beyond crazy.
And Boomer's picture was part of the court case.
Yeah.
They held up the picture of Boomer of Boomer being interviewed with him wearing the gloves.
We have talked about that before.
Yeah.
So that's one. This is more of a because it is September 2nd now. September 2nd?
Yes.
September 11th.
Yeah.
So you were 3 years old.
Yes.
You have any memory of that? Nothing, right?
Nothing. I was, I was like three or just turned four. Yeah.
So for someone like you, so I guess the closest thing I can think of to that would be Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
I wasn't born, clearly. It was 30 years prior to me being born. And yet you feel like you read up a lot about it, but it never really seemed like that really happened. When you hear the September 11th attacks, and I know it's different with video now and everything, and everything was captured, what do you think?
I mean, it's crazy to me. And my grandmother lives in the city. My father was in the city when it happened. He had to take a boat back to New Jersey to where we live because he couldn't drive home
to
get to his car. So there were so many, obviously, there are so many stories. There was a kid I grew up with. His aunt was one of the people who died in the
village. Yeah.
So it was just, it was always part of my life. Obviously, you watch the sports highlights and the connections to that. And it's still like every time, I mean, you think about the Cowboys-Jets game when Revis has the interception, right? That, like, 9/11, there are so many things throughout my life. So there's a huge sports connection to it for me. But it's also, you go downtown, we drive in every day, we see the Freedom Tower right here. Like, that's what happened in the city. So I can't relate to it in that sense that I wasn't here, I wasn't, like, I don't remember it.
Right.
And I can't imagine what the, like, what my mother was going through that morning when she couldn't, like, she
and no communication.
Get right. No communication. So she couldn't get through to my father, who was in the city right around here. He was at NYU. So he was, I don't know, how many blocks away is that? It's not that
30.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
And he's right there in the area, and he saw, he watched it out the window. Like, wow. he had a firsthand view of it. So I think that, and also growing up, and I remember this, our, like, the backdrop of our computer. I don't know why they had this, but my parents, we had like one family computer. Because a lot of people will say my generation is, they call us Zillennials, because we have all the stuff that Gen Z has and definitely that, but we also are the last generation that grew up. So it's kind of between 95 and 2000.
So you still had the house phone?
Yes. Yeah. We still had the house phone. We didn't grow up with the cell phones right. and the technology, but we had it by the time we were teenagers. Yeah. So it's like kind of in between. You still grew up with that. You'd go outside and play, you know, and things like that. So we had the one house computer, and it was a picture of the World Trade Center. It was always the backdrop. I don't know why they chose that. Maybe because that was something that meant something to my father.
It could be. I mean, I know sometimes just on my laptop, I will get the Empire State Building that's dictated by, you know, I guess the web browser.
Right.
It's not even my picture.
Right.
So it could be something like that.
No, it wasn't
too,
a
maybe.
Picture that he took, but it was just right. a picture that was, I guess, one of the stock images that was the option. He decided to choose that one. Mm. And that one, I remember after they're already gone. So I remember that still being the image on the computer. So I think that there's something to that. And you always, it's the kind of thing that you don't want to forget, that you don't want, like,
oh, for sure.
It's one of those things that you constantly have to remember, because there are, you know, scary things can happen at any time.
Any moment.
Yeah.
Like
any,
now.
Right.
Any moment.
You just have to be, you know, grateful for that they don't usually, and hope that the people are doing their jobs properly. And Boomer can talk about it because he's, you know, obviously he had his office there, and
it's well documented.
How many
no
people
doubt.
He knows. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Did you ever watch the morning of the I Miss in the Morning broadcast that's on YouTube?
I've listened to Mike clips.
Because, no, you should.
Right, because Mike ended up staying the whole day.
He did.
Yeah.
But I Miss, that show stayed on until, I believe, noon that day as well. But it's on YouTube. Warner Wolf, who was a part of the show, was living in the building across the street.
Oh, God.
And literally called in to describe what was going on. And listening to it in real time. And it's interesting because in real time for me as well, I was working overnights at the time with Joe Beningo. And, you know, I went to bed at 7 a.m. And I usually, at that time, I was sleeping great. I would go to bed at 7 a.m., get up at 5 p.m.
Really?
Like 10 hours. Wow. Oh, it was phenomenal. So I went to bed at 7 a.m. that day, and my phone's ringing at like 9 o'clock, whatever. Right. And I pick it up. I believe it was a house phone. I think it was a cell phone. And it was my wife. She said, I put the news on. I'm like, oh, what's the matter? She goes, a plane hit the World Trade Center. I'm like, yeah, all right, I gotcha. And I hung it up. My thinking was, sadly, a small little plane hit the World Trade Center. And I rolled back over. Phone rings again. She goes, did you not hear me? Get up. I'm like, all right, relax. She goes, just put the TV on. She goes, I'm nervous. I'm like, uh-oh. So like for me, even I thought it wasn't. And then I'm like, oh, okay. Even on the, if I remember correctly, when the news first came in, they were like, ah, what happened? And then all of a sudden, it's like, no, this is like a jetliner. This is not like a small plane.
And then,
it was crazy.
Drink up, baby. Fantasy Football Happy Hour is here to get you wins and have some laughs. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. We're diving into the tape, we're crunching the numbers to bring you sleepers, busts, weekly start sit advice. Whether you're defending a title or desperately avoiding last place, I've got you covered every single weekday. The bar is open. It's Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, wherever you get your podcasts.
How long did it take for people to realize that this wasn't an accident, that this was premeditated?
When the second one hit,
right.
I think that started to, and there was also word of the hijacking because it was making its rounds at the airports, I believe. So if you do have even an hour just to maybe on a ride home, just to listen to that 8:15 to 9, whatever, I would say within the hour, they probably were starting to think that. It was scary, man. It really was. It's probably in all my life, aside from the Muammar Gaddafi days when I was much younger and I didn't really understand what was going on and you were worried about World War III, kind of like I am now.
Yeah.
That's probably the most nervous I've been in terms of national security or what the hell is going on or what's coming next.
And then you came into the city when? Like, when was the next time
you came
in?
Yeah, so they went automatically to Mike and Chris stayed on. I think it went right from Imus right to Mike and Chris.
Yeah.
I don't believe there was anything in between. They didn't put the midday show on in between. And then it went to 10-10 wins the rest of the day until Imus again the next morning. And I think it was Imus to Mike and Chris. Like, I don't remember the midday show doing a show for a few days. Just like we didn't go in that night or the night after. I want to say I started going back in at the end of the week, but we didn't do anything. It wasn't until the following Monday, I believe, that we went in to actually do some sort of a show.
And the closest thing that I can experience that I saw was COVID, right? Where the first couple of days, I remember listening on the radio when people are like, all right, they pushed off a couple of games of the NCAA tournament, whatever. And then when I was listening to, I don't remember which show was on when they broke the news that it's canceled now. Yeah. There's not going to be a tournament.
Yep.
That was like, wait, what?
Something's real.
Yeah. What's going on? And then obviously they suspend the NBA season. I was sitting at home watching the Rangers were playing in Colorado that night and they're fighting for a playoff spot and they're playing in Colorado and they announced that this is going to be the last game. Like for a when? Like,
for when?
Who knows? Yeah. But for a while. And the Rangers score a late goal to tie it and send it to overtime. And I'm like, what is going on? And I remember sitting there and it felt fake because the game's happening.
Everything felt fake.
But we know that it's not going to be happening soon. So that's the closest thing like in my life that I can compare it to, because that's the kind of thing that the world just shut down all at once. And I imagine that's how the city was.
When we landed, I was with Rutgers.
Yeah,
we were playing Michigan in the Big Ten tournament. And the tournament got canceled right before tip-off. I want to say, not right before, but I would say 10 minutes before tip-off. Players off the court, and they like, get up, get out. We're like, we're doing a, like, in the middle of a broad.
And where were you?
I was in Indianapolis.
In Indy.
And so we get back to the hotel, a lot of confusion. But the one thing that seemed a constant was, there ain't no way. There's billions of dollars on the line. They're not canceling the NCAA tournament. And Rutgers was firmly in. They were a tournament team that year. And I remember the next, we stayed there that, and we stayed there that night. No, I think we actually left later in the afternoon. Maybe it was the next morning. I don't remember. Either way, I remember landing. And as soon as, you know, you land, everyone goes to their phones. All you heard from one of the players in the back was, yo, what the F? And then all of you heard the gasps and everyone's looking at their phone while we were mid-flight. That's when the NCAA tournament was officially canceled. That was crazy.
Yeah.
It was absolutely crazy.
And that, again, that's the craziest thing I've experienced, like, of one, because it felt like the end of the world. There were times I was like,
it felt different.
This is it. It was, you know, wrap it up.
I don't know that I ever felt that, but there was definitely a sense of, we don't know what we're dealing with. And if you get it, are you going to die?
Yeah.
And part of that, you ever see the movie Outbreak?
I'm not sure, but I think
so. Movie Outbreak, I don't know if it was made for HBO or if it was in film, but in theaters, but I saw it in HBO again when I was probably 13 or 14. The whole premise of Outbreak is someone brings in, and if I have these details wrong, excuse me, but you'll understand the premise. Someone gets an exotic monkey in a small, like, Midwest town. The monkey's diseased. And the first person that winds up scratching the first person, and that person winds up deathly sick, dies. And then anyone he was around gets deathly sick. So they end up putting a perimeter around the city. Like, you cannot leave. Right. You cannot come in. And it was by far the freakiest movie I've ever seen. And when this happened, that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
On a grander scale.
Yeah.
And it was pretty crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it was insane. And again, I'm someone who lived, as we mentioned earlier in the week, in areas where there was actual war.
Yep.
And this, it didn't compare. I feel like that I never...
You felt like this was worse than that.
Yes, 100%. Wow. Because I never thought that... My life never changed so much when I... Yes, there was times where we had to have increased security. There were times when I couldn't ride my bike to school. I'd have to take the school-specific bus or get a carpool. Things like that. Or like, okay, you know... just be aware there might be a siren, know where the closest bomb shelter is. That was once in a while.
But do you hear yourself?
I know.
That's how foreign it is to us
to
hear something like that.
No, I get that. But like, it wasn't, it didn't, I don't know, maybe just because
that's
I was
how you
younger,
grew up. Yeah.
But it was also just different. I never felt like, oh, this is, I'm terrified. Other than, like I said, the random stabbings, because that was the same kind of thing. Like, I was scared to go outside because it could happen anywhere. That was this. Like, I was like, I'm afraid, how is this going to end? When is this going to end?
Yeah.
Because more people are getting sick, more people are dying. And then, you know, a couple of people who you know are hospitalized, and all of a sudden it hits home. And it's like, wow, okay, this is a little bit crazy. And that was what happened. I remember a couple of people I knew got sick, and I was like, oh, this is not, you know.
Ain't good.
Yeah.
We were lucky in the sense of, so like my wife's job obviously shut down, and so she had nothing to do every day.
Yeah.
And I would say for a few days it was kind of cool. She enjoyed the break, but soon after it's like what is this? I was lucky as the show was in the sense of every morning I still woke up and took a shower and I still made the cup of coffee and we still had a show to do.
Right.
And so while I was home for, I think I was home for 3 months, March, April, May, I started coming in June, I believe it was. For 3 months, I still had a job and I still felt like I had a responsibility to do something. It wasn't wake up, fill out the unemployment stuff, and hope there's enough to pay the mortgage. So we were very lucky in that. And I will tell you too, that during that time, and I do feel bad, obviously other people lost their jobs in and around the area. I don't mean that, but there's radio station people lost their jobs too because we didn't have any revenue.
Right.
Like very little revenue was coming in. But I've always, and maybe this is why I'm so pro-owner as opposed to pro-player, this place also continued to pay most of us. In a time where they had limited revenue, they kept us employed, kept our medical benefits going. You'd think they ever accounted for that or planned for that.
Right.
But when you're an owner, those are the risks that you take. Yeah. NFL teams still paid their employees. MLB, life has to go on.
Yeah.
And the only one that might take the hit is the guy who owns everything, who over here and in this time, they're making a fortune. I get it. But boy, oh boy, when crap hits the fan, you still got to keep things going.
Yeah.
And I do respect that about ownership.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And here, again, like you said, they had to cut back a lot, but with no games going on and essentially... But
we had nothing.
Yeah. You guys...
We had the Lion King.
Yeah.
Not the Lion King. What was it called?
No, the...
I forget. You know what I'm talking about.
The Netflix.
Yeah.
The Netflix.
If we didn't have that, and if we didn't have... I'm trying to think what else.
Tiger King.
Tiger King and the Michael Jordan Bulls documentary.
Right. Yeah, The Last
Dance. That's what we had.
Yeah.
I mean, it was interesting.
Yeah, they expedited that. They put that out early. Yeah. The
and
last
thank God
dance.
They did.
Yeah, because that's all anyone talked about.
Man, was that really crazy. Difficult.
Yeah.
So it was some
but I listened
times.
Every day. Like that's what, like it was one of the things that got me really back into the radio station was I didn't have anything to do.
Right.
So it gave me something to get up for in the morning to listen to you guys. And it just felt like, all right, well, they're going through the same thing, so...
Oh, we were.
I guess I'll listen to it. And some of the days were fun, some days were not as fun, but it was...
Some days were hard.
Yeah.
Some days were really hard, and I remember, like, for me being home and not having the software availability and the programs to edit, like, I had to learn how to record at home.
Right.
And edit, because there was no one doing it for me. And it was...
And who was here? Was Zoo back here, or Eddie?
Only Eddie Scazzeri. Eddie Scazzeri and an engineer. That's it. And then whoever took over for him at 10, but I think Dove came in, I want to say, at 10 o'clock. But Eddie did a lot, and his responsibilities increased during that, and I don't think ever decreased, which you're now part of.
They did not.
But that's also part of, you know...
The scale down,
they see you can do it.
Yeah.
Well, then we'll give you a couple extra bucks. You're going to do a lot more, though.
Yeah. You know, or in my case, we'll give you half of what Eddie was given, and you're still going to do it. So
pretty wild stuff. Yeah. So anyway, well, that was uplifting.
Really fun. I actually had something interesting. Like,
save it for tomorrow.
Yeah, all right.
Unless Connor's doing it
I think
tomorrow.
I'm going to have Connor do it tomorrow.
So, all right, quickly, what do you
real
have
real quick, it was just something that I feel like you could relate to, because I played in a baseball league. I played baseball in high school, played baseball after high school, and then I played in a baseball league till I moved here three years ago. And then I was... with my brother over the weekend. I was with my parents. My brother was there. And I decided to bring my glove and a ball and a second glove.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'd just stood on a slab of grass and just played catch with anyone in probably since in 3 years.
Okay.
And just doing it with my brother, who I definitely haven't done it with probably in 10 years, was just a super cool thing that like, it's just like, we just stood there for a half hour, not talking too much, talking a little bit, but just playing catch, and it was just like, it was the craziest, like throwing you back in time. Like, and I know, you know, you get to do it with your kids or
not anymore.
Yeah, but it was just
on the driving range with my kids now.
Yeah, you're golfing. You're still doing something.
Ironically enough, I believe it was last summer. So my older son stopped playing. I guess it's probably he's 22. He probably stopped playing. The last time he played was an 18U tournament that I put together. I got the band back together for one weekend. So that was, I want to say, 4 years ago, if not four, maybe 3 years ago. And then my youngest son's final game was the spring of 25 in high school. The last game I was on the mat, like on a field with him, was the fall of 24. So last summer, he still was going through baseball workouts thinking he was going to play this year, his sophomore year. And I remember in like August, he decided he didn't want to play fall ball. He was done with travel. It was just going to be high school, if anything. It turned out to be nothing. It turned out to be just golf. But I remember in July or August, he asked me to throw the ball. I told my wife, I'm like, video this. This might be the last catch I ever have.
Right.
And she's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I don't. And I remember at the time, like, I don't think he's playing ball anymore. I think he's going full golf. And it turned out he did. So she has that on tape.
That's awesome that you have. But it was just being it's in that cool. voice. It was great. Yeah.
You know the deal with Mark Chernoff, right?
No.
With his son?
Oh, who he's like the general manager in Cleveland.
So his son, Mike, is the general manager of the Guardians, played at Princeton, played all through, you know, his childhood. Mark and Mike made a deal when he was a kid. Every month we have to have at least one catch. To this day, they still get together at least one time a month throw the ball around for a half hour.
That's awesome.
And they're so stern about it that Mark even mentioned a few years ago how there was the only, I think Boomer asked him, did you ever miss? And he said, no, the closest we ever came was, I think I want to say it was like January 31st or something. And he had realized they didn't do it that month. He hopped a flight to Cleveland, landed, went to his house. They threw the ball around in the snow, and he flew home that night.
That's unbelievable.
Just to keep it going. And that's I don't think awesome. They've ever missed a month.
Yeah, it's that's neat. Super cool. Yeah, that's really it's cool. Neat. And then it got me thinking, though, I need to find a baseball league for next summer. Because, like,
it's hard.
I know
as you
it's
get
been
older,
a couple of years, but, like, tough. I feel like I could still do it.
You probably can. My friend is 52. He just stopped playing because the kids, everyone's getting too much, too young.
I was in an 18 to 33 league. Okay. So maybe I would need a little bit of an older league. I don't know. But, like, again, I was 24, 25, 26 when I played in that league. Like, I feel like I could still do it.
Yeah, my concern at this point, and it's not injury from running or anything like Gio's worried about, I'd be concerned, you know, you're facing guys that are searching for old glory and getting hit in the face with a fastball.
Right, exactly.
Everyone can throw the ball.
Yeah.
This isn't arc ball softball.
Yeah. The league I played in, people were throwing hard, but they could throw it with accuracy. They were sharp. The pitchers were good.
Yeah, well, so can major league pitchers. And once in a while, whoop. Yeah. You're talking about the difference of like 3 or 4 inches.
Yeah,
no, miss.
I've gotten hit. It's not great.
Not fun.
Yeah.
So, all right, I got to go. Tomorrow. All right, so it's tomorrow. I will have the warm-up show tomorrow. I do it differently than CeeLo is what it is. I will do the open. We will do four calls, and then you or Connor, one of you. You're not sitting in there.
I got it.
We're not doing a barbecue. Yeah. One of you will come in here, and we'll do the final segment. And then Robbie Berger from Bob Does Sports, which my son, you're going to have company tomorrow because my son will be in there the entire time.
He's going to be
loaded
in there because I think Robbie's bringing someone else.
He
in,
is. So. Yes. Yeah. So my son can stand behind you. He can sit here. Whatever.
Whatever.
Robbie Berger from Bob Does Sports will do the show with Gio. I'm excited for it, too. Should be a lot of fun. And then that's that. You've got the goodbye, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.
See ya.